Okay, so let's talk about an interesting question of visiting the zoo. Why did I talk about that? Because when I was looking into the AI and robot discussion, I told you I had this sefer, those were here the other night, that had many halachas about a golem. And in this sefer, they had one entry about whether or not you're allowed to go see animals that are tame. So this was a discussion, not a halachic discussion, it was a discussion of from the element of tumah that Elia was talking about before. Is there anything wrong looking at a non-kosher animal? I'm not discussing that at all. I want to discuss, is there any halachic issues and any thing that you should not go to the zoo, any values of going to the zoo, from a halachic standpoint, not from the hashkafa standpoint, but that's what really triggered me to discuss this. And also, in the summer, when your kids, the youngest kids, your first kids, we took our oldest to the zoo like every month. Yeah, and then by the time, now she's in seminary, my youngest kids like have been to the zoo once in their lifetime. So we're trying to make up some time for them a little bit. So going to the zoo is one of the areas we're trying to make up time. So let's see whether or not we should be, and the halacha is related to going to the zoo. So let's start off with the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara there in the last parak of Brachos talking about various types of brachos one says. So Tanu Rabbanan Haroe Peel, you see an elephant, Kof, which is a monkey, and Kofuf is some type of bird, Rashi says, that has human features to it, like cheekbones and jaws similar to a human. These three animals, if you were to see any of these animals, Omer Baruch Mishana Esabrios. There's a special bracha that you would say with Shem Umalchus, a full bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokim Malchalam, Mishana Esabrios, that Hashem changes creatures, creations. That's the bracha one says. For an elephant. So the tour brings down a machlokas regarding this bracha, of how often should a person say the bracha. The Torah writes in number 2 here, in Hilchos Brachos, because of Od, he's quoting from the Ravid, She'enu mevarech elapam rishona she'ashinoi alav gadamo. The first time you saw an elephant, you should say this bracha. Massive, massive creature. The first time you see a monkey, first time you see this bird, you should say it once and that's it. You don't say it ever again. That's the opinion of the Ravid. We'll get very good. We'll get to that in just a second. Excellent. Ulufi Masha Kasafti Lamala Mivarach Echad Lishloshim Yom. The tour himself felt every 30 days, if you haven't seen these animals, you would say it again and again. How do you paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah have a machlokas here. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, and talking about just reading the bold, Mishan Habrios, that bracha said, jumping down the line, Ve'enu Mivarach Elapam Rishona Shashinoi. Alav Gadol Ma'od, says the Mechaber, the first time you see each of these animals, once, and that's it. Which means, if you are Sephardi, I would imagine if you saw an elephant, a monkey, or a kafuf, and you haven't said the bracha, you probably missed out on that opportunity. You can't say it again. However, you missed the first time, and no longer is it so exciting seeing an elephant. You saw it once, you missed the bracha. I think I didn't look into it, though. But the Ramah, and for the Ashkenazim, the Ramah Paskins, V'yesh Omrim, Mishloshim Yom, Lishloshim Yom, every 30 days, if you go visit the zoo every 30 days, and you see an elephant, you see a monkey, you see a kafuf, whatever that might be, you would say the bracha every 30 days, it says the Ramah. That's how the Ashkenazim Paskim.
What's the translation of the bracha?
Mishana means to change, Brios means creatures, creations. Changes creature. We'll see why these animals, and if only these animals, are these just examples? And any animal that might be, amazing? Or just these three animals? We'll get to that in just a second. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan adds another option. He says, what if you see different elephants? You say a bracha on each elephant, each monkey you see. You go to the zoo, there are like 20 monkeys jumping around. You say a bracha on each one of them. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in number 4, Upashit, Dehu al acher mevarach afilu toch. If you see a different monkey, right, you're in one part of the
species.
He doesn't say one exactly. It could be the same species. If I was in one corner of the zoo and saw the bracha, I go to another corner, it might be the same species. I would say another bracha according to Aruch HaShulchan. Interesting. He said, no, it sounds, he did not mechai between different types of species. Monkeys, it could be the same, gorillas, whatever the different types.
That's what he said within 30 days.
No, but he says if it's a different monkey, although the same species, within afilu toch, even within 30 days, you would say another bracha, Mishana Brios, on that monkey B. You said already a monkey A, you said a monkey B too. That's what the Ochel Shochan passes.
What's the difference between seeing animals or just seeing a beautiful thing created by the Ochel Shochan?
Well, that's another discussion about when you see beautiful mountains and oceans. There's other brachas as well. Ose Masa Bereshis, waterfalls. We could discuss that perhaps next Sunday. Who knows? But this is to focus on these three animals. So why these three animals? And Mati suggested, Rashi already alluded to why these three animals, because the kafuf apparently looks somewhat like a human being, he said. So the Me'iri, number five, the base of Bechir, that's the Me'iri, Haroe, Peel, Kuf, Kof, the Kipuf, these three animals, Hol, V'domim, L'odom, B'miktsas, Devarim. These animals have similar features. Now, some more than others. A monkey, obviously, more so than the other animals. This kafuf, I don't know what it is. An elephant, I don't know which elements of it is similar to a human, but maybe, I don't know, the skin, the wrinkles. I don't know exactly what makes it look like a human, but that was the assumption. There's something about an elephant that looks like a human. Now, I'm not going to suggest this. There is a suggestion that there's a machlokas rashitosis. This is not my point. I just thought remembered it right now. There's a Gemara in Kedushin. Yes.
There is such a thing as an elephant man.
Oh, yeah?
A human being.
Uh-huh.
And they look similar to an
elephant. Meaning someone who might be obese. You know, obese person?
No, there is a disease.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh, interesting. Okay, so I imagine that's not what he's describing here, but who knows? But I'm not suggesting, I'm just pointing out, saying something, it might be kfira, a little bit. There's a Gemara in Kedushin that talks about how do you acquire, what can you do to acquire an elephant? How do you acquire an elephant? A peel. So normally, if I want to acquire something, one of the ways is picking hagbah. Now, how in the world do you pick up an elephant? So Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokas there. Rashi says, you hang up some, the Gemara says you're hanging branches up. So Rashi says, the elephant jumps up. It jumps up and catches the branches. That's hagbah. Tosfos says, an elephant can't jump. You have to put branches down for the elephant to climb on top of it, and that's the hagbah. So some suggest that Rashi may have never seen an elephant in his life. He didn't know what elephants were, which is possible. But we don't like suggesting this because Rashi and Tosfos, in general, machlokas rishonim are something more fundamental, not something that they're lacking in awareness. So we don't like saying that. But I'm just saying maybe the Me'iri never saw an elephant either and wasn't exactly sure which features were similar to it. In which case, we'll get to Rav Yaakov Emden in just a second, how he has a little bit of a different understanding of how an elephant is similar to a human.
How is that any different than picking up an animal when you do the book of Bonos?
No, it's not different, but
the animal up also?
No, you don't have to pick up. You cut the animal up and then you can put it on the mizbech, but you don't have to lift up the cow. There's a smicha, you lean on the cow, but you don't have to lift up. There's some mechanism in the base mikdash, you have to put it around its neck and you shecht it, and there might be some way to draw it up, but either way, the elephant can jump. Yeah. So now...
Isn't one of the ways to walk it a few steps?
Yeah, that's another way. Mashiach, but the Gemara is going through all the different options, and it suggests hagbah for appeal, which is harder lifting up. Exactly. So now, the Rav Yaakov Emden writes in number 6, Mor Ktsia, in explaining why these three animals. So he says, Ki Yakov, reading the bold, Mizdame b'ktsas ma'asav l'adam, the monkey, as we know, has very similar features, actions, thoughts, movements, as a human. V'apil nikeres bo kimo kein chachma nifla'a ugvura tzuma, has incredible wisdom, apparently, and also is incredible strength. So therefore, he felt it also is considered somewhat human in that regard. And that's why to see Hashem making animals that are similar to humans, that warrants the special bracha of Mishana Habrios. Now, this is a really fascinating pshat, the following. There's a Mishnah Maseches Klaim, which talks about what you're allowed to use two animals to pull a plow. There's different types of Klaim. You can't crossbreed animals, you can't crossbreed fruit. You also can't have two animals pulling at different waves, different strengths. It's the Isser of Klaim. And in that Mishnah, the Mishnah gives an example, mentions a peel and a kof. Those are a minchaya. Those are wild animals, as opposed to a behema, which are domesticated animals. He picks out, he singles out chaya, a peel and a kof. A monkey and an elephant. Why? So one of the mefarshim of the Mishnah, the Melechus Shlomo, he says, why did he choose these as the examples? And he goes on to explain why the special bracha of Mishana Brios Dafka by a peel and a kof, by an elephant and a monkey. Look what he writes in number 8, the bold. He writes, Matirtz. The Bizman Dor Hamabul, Nifra Kadosh Baruch Hu min ha'anashim. Kadosh Baruch Hu punished the people in Dor HaMabul. Shehifchon lekofim. They turned into monkeys. Upilim into elephants. V'haynu shehakof dom la'adum. That's how we know that a monkey is similar to a human. And a peel, nami mavin lashon bnei adam. Apparently elephants, he understand language. They understand to communicate. They're very smart, apparently. Why? Because Dor HaMabul, Medrash says, the humans of Dor HaMabul turned into monkeys and elephants. Now the problem, forget the question, the problem is, we only have a Medrash that say that humans turn to monkeys, not that humans turn to elephants. So what's your question, yeah?
Different questions. So these would have to have been the monkeys and the elephants that went into the Teva, because everything else got wiped out by the Dor HaMabul.
Yes, you have to look at the Medrash. Yeah.
How'd they make it?
Yeah, how'd they make it exactly? Not sure. But either way, there's a Medrash that certainly says that people, not all, some of the Dor HaMabul turned into monkeys, and he felt even elephants, and that's why they are similar to humans, because of that which took place historically. Now, according to all of these that we just saw, this bracha, Mishana Esabrios, is unique to these three animals only, because these three animals have these human features. A monkey, an elephant, and this type of bird.
Okay, I'm sorry, can you go back to 7, please? After the bowl, it says, V'adam muta im kula limshok v'lacharosh v'olam alahani.
Yeah, a person can, you know, draw a plow with an animal. That's not called climb. Whatever the reason is, Yishalmi explains,
that's not called climb?
No, peel and kof is a minchaya. You can't mix different types of animals in terms of crossbreeding. What's this? The Elephant Man. The Elephant Man is a 1980, it's a film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's a deformed man.
It's a deformed man, correct.
Okay, right. Okay. Very good, thank you. Yeah, but let's ignore that piece. It's fine. So now, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in Halicha Shlomo, he argued, he didn't elaborate, he felt a person could say the bracha of Mishanes Abrios on any animal that he finds to be, inspiring, interesting. He didn't list which animals, but it wasn't these three. These were just examples of animals, but not to say brachas. It doesn't seem like Rav Shlomo Zalman was, everyone agreed to this. It seemed to Poskim that only these three animals, none others. Okay, so that's the bracha. You go to the zoo, you can say the bracha. And the question is, should you go to the zoo?
Any fish?
Is there value?
No fish?
No, it doesn't say anything about fish, saying brachas and fish. No, nothing like that. Now, is there value? This could be talking about if you happen to see a monkey, if you happen to see an elephant, should you go out of your way to go see these animals to say the bracha? Or even forgetting the bracha, is there value to go see animals in general, to just see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beauty? So there is a sefer called Leket Yosher, who's written by a Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was an incredible posek, Rav Yisrael Isserlin. And the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes him on Kimat every single page. A lot of his tshuvas are brought by the Ramah. So this is what the Leket Yosher, the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen, wrote about his Rebbe. V'amar, number 10. Shelo ra'a ari miyamav. He never saw a lion. And one time, it was Shabbos, he heard there were lions. Halach l'ros shnei ari. He went to go see two lions. And explains further that why dafka on Shabbos is because Shabbos, a Talmud Chacham like he was, you could take time off from learning. You're learning all week long. The way it works is that a person who's working all week long should learn on Shabbos. A person who learns all week long should take an oneg Shabbos to rest a little bit. So Shabbos was a good opportunity for him to go and see these lions. So he went to see the lions. So you see there's such a value. He didn't explain what the value is, but he went to see lions. Was he curious? Was he learning something? The Tshuvas Arugas Abosim, I believe, yeah. Yeah?
Oneg Shabbos.
It could be that. Oneg Shabbos, that was very fulfilled. Oneg Shabbos, it could be. Now, the Tshuvas Arugas Abosim, I think I was at his kever. I believe he's buried by the Aruch HaShulchan. We were there on the trip to Hungary a couple years ago. I believe it was in the same section as Arugas Abosim as Aruch HaShulchan. So he was asked the following question. Look at number 11. He was in Hungary the end of the 19th century. Asher she'alta lo diacha im mutter leilech el circus. A circus. Can you go to a circus? Can you go see lions and tigers and elephants or whatever else they have there? Asher sham yichon liros chayos subrios mishunos. You could see all types of animals. You could see strange animals, strange people even. V'yesh etzleichem anashim t'mimei derech ha'holchem b'toras Hashem. The people who go and they follow, the Torah. V'omim shlo levad she'en iser b'zeh. Not only is it not usser to go, there's nothing wrong going, say some Rabbanim. Ela filu mitzvah namika. There's a mitzvah to go to the circus. Kedei levarech barach mishan habrios. That's the question that was sent to the Aruch Gezbosa. Is there anything correct about this? Any validity to this suggestion? Da, the davar zemefurash le'eser bekama duchde b'shas. This is us, it's prohibited to go to the circus or the like. As many Gemaras in Shas say this, he quotes the Gemara of Odezara, Daf Yud Ches as one example. What was that? Tanu Rabbanan, haholech latzdidon, ulekrochem, these cities, these stadiums, v'ra'a shames ha'nechashim, you saw these snakes, v'esach, chavaron bukin, mokin, all types of weird people, the Gemara says, ha'rezem mosha v'leitzim v'aleim ha'achi amar asher ha'ish asher lo halach, Ba'atas Risham, you're called the Moshe of Leitzim. You're going to a stadium to watch gladiators watching bullfights, these types of things. He felt it was entirely usher because Moshe of Leitzim, it's wasting time. That was the Psak of the Rukas Bosim. Clearly, Chumash Hadeshin didn't feel that way. He went to see the lion. Now, one could debate, and you could say, maybe it depends how much time you spend there. To go see a lion, you spend a couple of minutes and you leave, maybe that's okay. But to spend 3 hours, let's say, to a baseball game, which is maybe, no, a little shorter now. Maybe it's 2.5 hours, and the trip there and the trip back, you're now speaking 5.5 hours. That might be Moshe of Leitzim. He felt going to these events just to say the Brach of Mishanas Abriels and giving up 5 hours of your time, that's Moshe of Leitzim. He was against this, the Eruguz Bosan.
Didn't he point out a difference between going stam to see animals and maybe making a bracha, and when it's a... having them kill each other.
Exactly. So he didn't explain that, he didn't make a distinction. He felt that was a proof. Now you could say watching bullfights and gladiators is a bit different than going to observe and learn and educate yourself on animals. 100%, which is most poskim do not hold of that Rukas Bosim. Most poskim say that's entirely permitted. And we're going to go through now a fascinating sefer I just picked up Erev Shabbos to explain the chida.
But there could definitely be a problem with watching animals kill each other. That's like sick.
It could be sick. It could be, you know, it's not very Torah-dic. It's not what a Ben Torah does. Looks like they have a discussion about hunting. Could you go hunting? Is that allowed? Although there's no real isser in going hunting, it's not what a Ben Torah does. It's brought down by the Be'er Halacha, bring such a thing. So going to the gladiators and of the sort might be also not what an observant Jewish would be doing. Yeah, you could, you know. Yeah, again, any sport, by the way, and then even if you allow sports, then, you know, the footballs and hockey, where it's a little bit more violent, yesh ladun.
There are so many fights.
Right. I understand that, yeah. But, no. You kill an animal, it's not suffering. You kill him. That's it. You shoot him, he's dead. It's a sport, but you're not hanging the animal up and throwing it around and banging him in. You shoot him, he's dead. There's no tzar bal chayim. There's no halachic iser with the gong hunting. It's just Hashkafic point, which the Be'er Halacha brings down from the Noda Behuda.
You have to make sure you kill it, though.
Trapping. I mean, trapping.
Yeah, so I mean, you have these bear claws or whatever, you know, your animal's running, gets caught.
If you're trapping it and you're causing Tabecham, there's no Toelis in it, then it would be Tabecham as well, seemingly. Now, let's talk about the Chida. The Chida is a sefer called the Ma'agel Tov, which I guess means like the nice, beautiful circle of some sort. The Chida spent several years traveling. Two different occasions. He went on 3-year journeys, each one separately, traveling. And he has a journal, every date that he went, where he went from, events that took place, what he saw, who he met, what he learned. Fascinating. Like his first opening day when he left from Hebron, he was attacked and taken captivity from some goyim there, and they were saved from it. Every event, it's fascinating. He came across Svarim that he never saw published before. He saw the Rambam Shul. He saw palaces. He saw kings. He said brachas. It's incredible. And he writes down why he write this journal. He gives two reasons why he wrote this journal. One reason, he says, is to thank Hashem, Lahodos Lahalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he was saved him so many times. So many nisim took place there. And when you go out to travel to Sakana, so you have to thank Hashem. That's one reason. And the second reason, he says, is because he was very scared. He was very scared, and he needed to release his feelings, he writes. And the way to release the feelings is based on the Gemara, a few places, talks about Daga Balev Ish Yisachenu. You have to speak about, to go to a therapist. Exactly.
Why did he travel for 3 years?
I'll explain in a second.
Or was he on the run?
And then, so therefore, to get it off his chest, he wrote down everything from his own emotional health, which is fascinating. Those two reasons he wrote. Now, why did he go? So he went to, it seems that he was trying to raise money for yeshivas of some sort. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, and then they just had amazing encounters. And he was with a gaba came with him. He lost his gaba along the way. The gaba is screaming out in the middle of the night. He didn't hear him. He came back. I read through a bunch of it over Shabbos and Yontov. It was fascinating. So many interesting things here. And he's describing these statues he saw in the palaces. Like, it really comes to life. I'm like watching a movie here. It's really, I highly recommend it. I don't understand all the words. I don't understand all the places. You know, the Hebrew, like Venice, for example. He took boat rides in Venice. Fascinating. One of the few times, what? This is, he started off in Tuf Kuf Yud Dal, no, Tuf Kuf Yud Gimel. So that would be now 370 years ago. No, 270 years ago. And then the other one he did 20 years after that. He took his second journey. So now, in one of the places he went, in his second round, he says, Ra'isi Pil. This was Yud Nisan, 10th of Nisan. It was, I saw an elephant. And this elephant was Ben Tesha Shon, 9 years old. V'govahu was big, tall, v'oveh, and fat, l'mal megama, much more than a camel. He never saw this before. Vamru Shagada, he was told that this animal continues to grow until it's 30 years old. It gets bigger and bigger, like he can get bigger than this. V'chai yoser me'ashon, it can live for 100 years old. I don't know what the current status is, but it grows till it's 30, and it lives till 100. Who noter Eva, it gets very upset. You get it angry, so it's going to fight you. It's going to attack you. It's a soft animal, but if you get its bad side, it's going to attack. Ve'enav k'tan ma'od, the eyes are very, very small. Ve'oznav, its ears, rechavos ma'od, very, very big ears. U'marich apeh k'shlosh amos, its nose is 3 amos long. U'bechatumo mishtamish le'echol l'shos, it eats and drinks from its nose. He was fascinating by this. And he said, when I saw this animal, Beirachti b'shem u'malchus baruch mishana. He said the bracha mishana sabrius when he saw this incredible elephant. The first time he saw it, b'shem u'malchus, he said the bracha. So they bring this chida as a raya that you should taka say the bracha. Now it's still a question, yeah.
An elephant doesn't eat through his nose.
Well, that's
what he said. Uh-huh. Okay, so... Okay, all right. So it could be out of me. You're right. B'chartumo mishtamish. He used his nose in order to eat. Very good. Excellent. Very good. So that's what comes out from all this. In the end of the day, it's certainly permitted. Just to finish off, why should one go to the zoo? Is there a value? If you do see this, you say the bracha, is there value? So I came across an article online. Rabbi Elazar Brat is a fascinating historian and all types of sources he had from scummas of different rabbanim. And he came out, there are 3 reasons why there's a value to go to a zoo to see animals. And that's for the following reasons. One is, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's incredible creations. That alone, the also be Hashem's creations of whatever animals you see, that alone, just seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, that's one reason. Second reason is, he says, to understand mitzvahs. There's certain mitzvahs we have to understand. Is this a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? Is it good for a shofar? Is it kosher to eat? There are many lachas that relate to mitzvahs. You know, the famous Meister of Chaim Knievsky and the grasshopper, he had to know to write a sefer, is this kosher or not kosher? You need to see it to understand it. So to educate yourself for the performance of mitzvahs. And the third reason is because Chazal used many times models of animals to teach us lessons, midos, gibor ka'ari, to be strong like a lion. Well, what does that mean to be strong? What is a lion? How strong is a lion? I don't know. A lion could be an ant. I don't know. And, you know, what? Yeah, you have to find them at the right time. In the night, you have to find them when they're active, but you have to understand their strength. You want to be, you know, Kal Kinesher, to be swift like an eagle. Well, what does an eagle look like? How does an eagle fly? Or Oz Kenamer, to be strong like a leopard. You have to know these things in order to understand the midos. So there's so much to learn, either to appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu, or for the performance of mitzvahs, or to understand the midos that we can learn from these animals.
Did you ever go to Long Island Game Farm on Long Island?